Amen. We serve a great God. Amen. He is the God of all of our days. That song, I think, just really states it well in each of its parts. This morning, I want us to look at Daniel, the book of Daniel. If you'll go ahead and begin opening your Bibles there to Daniel chapter 6, looking at living a life of faith. We can maybe say, well, there were times that it's easier to live life of faith than it is today. You might say, look at the world we live in. How is it possible to live a life of faith? Well, I believe we get a good example through Daniel. But we could even easily say and come up with the excuse that it's hard to live the life of faith in the society that we live in today. Maybe the things that school is teaching our children doesn't all line up with our faith. Those of our leaders that are in Washington don't line up with our faith. They make it difficult for us. How can we do that? What about the workforce? For those of us who are in the workforce, you know, it almost seems impossible to advance unless you have to lie every now and then. Not a what we would call just an open, bold-faced lie, but sometimes we have to fudge something or not just tell the truth. Is it really possible in all that we live in today to truly stand by and live a life of faith? And I will give you an emphatic answer of yes, but I will put with that it's not always easy. But we were never called as believers to live a life that was easy, have we? Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming, he didn't live a life that was easy. None of the Bible characters and those who lived throughout the Bible lived a life that was easy if they were living after God. But I want us today to look at some of Daniel's example as we begin to look at that. And we say, well, how can it be possible with the way that our school system teaches? Now, let me pause here. I'm not bashing our school system. I believe there's a time and a place. I believe as a whole, our school system has gotten off of the principles of God. So how is it that our children being raised can live this life? Well, let me tell you, Daniel was taken as a youth into captivity. God allowed Israel to be taken over. The king of Babylon come and took them captive, brought them in, and he told his leaders, you go and find some good people, and you bring them in, and you teach them our literature, it tells us in the first of Daniel, our literature and our language of the Chaldeans. For 3 years, Daniel was being infiltrated with the education of the enemy, but he still what? Lived a faithful life. He was raised up into the ranks of leadership because of the life that he lived. Find it interesting in looking and when you begin to compile the time frame, Daniel was taken as a youth into captivity, probably in his late teens time frame. The Bible tells us that he was a youth. He was brought in. He was educated. He served under four kings, King Nebuchadnezzar, that king's son, King Belshazzar, King Darius, which is the king over the Persians and the Medes, and he came in and took over. And then King Cyrus. And what we're looking at today when Daniel was put in the lion's den was under King Darius. I found it very interesting in looking because in my mind, and how often do we come to God's word and we bring our familiarity with it? Some of us have grown up hearing the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and we're very familiar with it. Some of us in this room maybe have never heard of it. But I've always thought about Daniel as a youth coming, and then probably not long after Daniel lived out his life, he was put down in the lion's den. We see depictions of this young boy, and he's being pulled up. Do you know that Daniel, when he was placed in the lion's den, was probably in his mid-80s? Never thought of that. But when you look at the time frame of when he came, who he served under, he was probably in his mid-80s, early to mid-80s, when he went in there. So you can't say, I'm too old to live a life of faith. Daniel continued to live it, serving through these different spans of kingships. So this morning, I want you to take what you know, if you know anything, this morning about the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and kind of hold it but set it to the side. And let's look at what God's word has to say and come to it in light of seeking Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. Can we do that? Would you stand with me as we look at Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 16? I want to read a main portion, and then we're going to begin to look at Daniel 6. But Daniel 6, beginning in verse 16. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near to the den to Daniel, he cried with a trembling voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime." Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, you teach us each and every time we open your word that, Lord, you are trustworthy. God, we can trust you. Father, we can live the life that you have called us to live. Father, speak to us. Your servants are listening this morning. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What I need us to understand, and you've heard me say it several times already, that Daniel was able to live a life serving God even in the middle of being in captivity around those who were evil and against him. Kind of maybe describe some of our lives. We live in a day that seems dark, a day that people don't want to hear about God, a day that other things are more important. But Daniel stayed faithful, and he lived a life of faith. What can we get? There are four examples, would maybe be a word that I could use, that I want us to see about Daniel. But let me tell you one little thing to, I know you're holding some of your knowledge over here, and your other hand, hold this. The main character is not Daniel, but it's what God is doing in and through Daniel's life. What we have to understand, as I mentioned, Daniel was taken captive with a bunch of other Israelites, brought over to Babylon. Jerusalem, the holy city, has been put into ruins. The temple has been destroyed. The sign and the representation of God's presence with him, everything to their knowledge has just been done away with. Can you imagine what they're thinking about God at this moment? God, the great God, has allowed all of this to happen. Daniel taken away from his family, taken into Babylon, put through rigorous training of a language. But Daniel never stopped being faithful to God. And God blessed that in Daniel's life. Daniel began to rise very quickly. Some things that have happened prior to where we're at in Daniel 6. Daniel was elevated into leadership. The king decided that he would put some over, and he put Daniel over an area. Daniel had some friends. He wanted them put into place, and we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They also served the Lord. And because of that, they refused to bow down to a false god. The king had those three young men bound up, and in his anger, he had the fiery furnace, as the Bible tells us. Then he was going to throw them in there, but he said, "Oh no, I'm so great. I've given an order. They won't bow down and worship this idol." He says, "You make that fire hotter." Now here's what we have to catch in that story just to lead us up to where we're at. The fire was so hot that the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire burned up and died, and they wasn't even in it. The king looks in there and he says, "Wait just a minute. Didn't I put three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in there?" He even brought some people over and said, "Hey, make sure my eyes are seeing right. Didn't we throw three people?" "Yeah, well, why are there four in there and they're walking around?" He said, "One of them even looks like the Son of God." He said, "You bring them out, I want to talk to them." Now, remember, the men that threw them in there, it was so hot it burned up. They come out. They didn't smell like smoke. Their clothes were still intact. Their hairs didn't even get singed. You know that you even get close to fire, that horrible smell when you burn some hair, it burns quick, doesn't it? But they stayed faithful. Daniel stayed faithful, and he worked his way through different kings. King began to recognize them, and he served the Lord, and he was faithful in all ways and bringing his way. And now we're up under his third king of leadership, under King Darius, when this happens. But we see, first of all, that Daniel is living a life of faith surrounded by evil. He is surrounded in a time like we are where everything was against him. But we understand that why Daniel is living a life surrounded by evil, Daniel's lifestyle was known. Take a look with me at verse 5 of chapter 6. "Then these men said, 'We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God.'" Daniel was taken. He was put into captivity. He was an outsider. King Darius, now the third king that he has served under, King Darius is taken over. He's gotten 120 leaders, and he said, "I'm going to take three commissioners and put them over." It would be like being a prime minister. And he took three men and put everybody else under. Guess who one of the three was? It was Daniel, the outsider, the guy from Judah. And he started doing so good because he was faithful to the Lord in what he did that the king was going to make him over everybody else. Well, guess what? Just as in today's society, if you begin to make it up the ranks, there's someone that don't want that. And we see that here. The other commissioners began to get together with the others, and they said, we're going to plot. We've got to do something to get Daniel out of the picture. We got to trip him up. We got to find something we can go to the king so the king will put him out. And it tells us up in verse 4 before that, that they could not find anything. It says in verse 4, the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to his governmental affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption inasmuch as he was faithful. And it tells us there at verse 5 that they were able to not come up with anything. The only thing they could do was to cause something to happen in regard to that. See, Daniel as a youth brought and put into the service of the king, and his lifestyle was lived out. We hear the words about Daniel when it says they couldn't find anything. You see, living his life, he had a lifestyle. This wasn't something new that just popped up and Daniel decided by a flight of the night that I'm going to start to do this. Daniel, all through these years, because here we're at about the age of 80, his lifestyle has been faithful to everything that he's gone through to serve the Lord. Faithful to God, so much that his lifestyle was visible to other people. His faithfulness was visible. He didn't do it to draw attention. It's who he was, and they didn't like that. So they set a trap for him. Verse 7 says, all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. They're going to come up with something, and they're going to get their way by using flattery. In verse 6, they come and say, King Darius, live forever, O great and mighty one, might be how we would say it today. Now, here's the problem. Remember, they couldn't find anything against Daniel, but something that would be against his Lord. They go before the king, who was a friend, it tells us, of Daniel. And remember, Daniel was the prime minister. He was, we could maybe say, the chief prime minister. And now here's the king being flattered so his eyes wouldn't see all of the truth. And in verse 7, it says, they were talking to the king and they said, all the commissioners. Oh, wait a minute. Who were the three commissioners? We don't know two of them, but we know one of them was what? Daniel. You think Daniel was standing there? Daniel wasn't there. Daniel's name wasn't on any list or petition going to the king, but the king had been sidetracked by the flattery, and they're saying, they're lying, that all of us have come up with this idea, king, that you need to put a decree that can no one else can bow down and pray to anyone but you for the next 30 days. King's probably, hey, I like the sounds of this. You see, in that day, understand that the kings were considered like gods. They made no mistakes. They were perfect. And here they are appealing to that. And they gave this command, and he signed into law for 30 days that nothing could happen. Why did this happen? Because those other commissioners didn't like Daniel. Why? Because he was different and was succeeding about them through God's blessing. Reminds me of Jesus speaking in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Listen to this. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The problem here was Daniel was living faithful. He was being obedient to God. He was going to leave all the consequences to God. We talked about that, I think, last week. And they are on him because of God. And we see, secondly, in this example, that living a life of faith surrounded by opposition. I'm not going to ask any of you in here today to raise your hand, but how many of you in here live in opposition to your faith, opposition around you, people that don't believe like you do? We see it all the time in the workforce, people not getting promoted. We get called all kinds of names, Bible thumpers and everything else under the sun. But it is possible to live a life of faith surrounded by opposition. How do we do that? Remember, Daniel already had a lifestyle of living a faithful life to God. So now in opposition, guess what? It's very simple. Daniel didn't change. He didn't change just because there was opposition. Just because difficulty come, he didn't change. Daniel didn't go coward in face of opposition or persecution because his lifestyle already existed. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. It was their custom to face Jerusalem and to pray three times a day. Daniel's window was already open. Daniel's window was open all of his life when he would go three times a day and bow down before the holy God and pray and thank him and put his petitions. These guys knew it. They had seen him before through that window. But guess what? Daniel didn't cower down. He didn't go in and say, well, you know, the king has signed a decree that for 30 days, that's all. 30 days can't no one bow and pray to anyone else. You know, just 30 days, let me go and close my window. Nobody will know what I'm doing behind my closed door. It's only 30 days. Or maybe Daniel could have said, you know, for just 30 days, I need a rest. And I'm just not going to bow down. But we also know that his window was already open. So he continued what he was doing. Now, if his window would have been closed all of these years and he went to open it, he would just be trying to jump out there and really just make a statement that probably would be looking more on him. But he didn't test the situation. He did what he continued to do. The windows were open. He continued kneeling as he had done previously. So when we're in the living a life of faith surrounded by opposition, we can continue on. It tells us that when Daniel knew, he knew it had been signed, but he said, I'm still going to be faithful to my God regardless. Because Daniel knew who his God was. He continued kneeling, and he continued on even through that time. Guess what? These men, these conniving men that have this plan set up, I'm sure, doesn't tell us in Scripture, but they probably went over across the street and they got their binoculars and they're looking right in that window. Come on. Three times a day he does it. Here it comes. Boop. Ah, look, there he is. Oh, let's go running. We all, oh, King. Nee, 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 nee. King, guess what? Didn't you make a decree that no one else could bow down to anyone else? Look at verse 12. Then they approached and spoke before the king and about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, "The statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked." Put your finger there just a minute because I'm going to finish in 13. They believed, as I said earlier, that their king was a god. So if a god made a decision, he couldn't be wrong. So it couldn't be gone against. And that's what they knew. So the king had set it up through them. And then verse 13. Then they answered and spoke before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petitions three times a day." Now here they come. They're going to try to make Daniel look bad. They don't come and say your chief magistrate or anything like that. They come and they say, "Daniel, one of those exiles." No, it wasn't just one of those exiles. It was the one that the king liked, the one that had done the best, the one that had been moved up. They tricked the king because he was chief commissioner, not just an exile. So Daniel has lived a life of faith surrounded by evil. Daniel lived a life of faith surrounded by opposition. But Daniel also lives a life of faith surrounded by trying times. I don't know in this room who is going through trying times right now, who has been through trying times, who will go through all of us through trying times. But even when it gets hard and it gets difficult and our faith is put to the test, we can still live a life of faith surrounded by this. Daniel stayed faithful in the face of his God, allowing him to go into the lion's den. How many of you, if you're doing what you're supposed to, you're living a life of faith, and God allows you to be put in the lion's den? What do you begin thinking? Is God real? How in the world could God allow this to happen to me? How quickly Satan can come in and he can begin to give you those thoughts. But Daniel, because of his lifestyle, even in the face of trying times of being in the lion's den, stayed faithful. Look at verse 16. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, who you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." What a thing for the king to say. He knew Daniel's lifestyle. He's seen what God had been doing in and through Daniel because of his faithfulness. And then verse 17, a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. He's put in the lion's den, this hole in the ground or in the side of a cave, and there are lions in there, and they let them get good and hungry. It's not like going to the zoo where they feed them every day and got them fat and happy. These lions were used as a form of punishment. They would keep them ready, giving them just enough food probably to hold on, so that when something was put in there, they would be yump, yump, yump. It would be yummy time supper. It ain't the beef prime rib, it's human prime rib on this menu tonight. Daniel was thrown down there in the lion's den. They rolled that big stone over it so he couldn't get out, signed and sealed it. And there it was. But this upset the king. Wasn't nothing he could do about it. Says he was disturbed all night. He fasted. I mean, he had some pretty good maybe theology, we would say. You know, he was disturbed. He didn't sleep. But he knew. He had seen the God work in the life of Daniel. He knew what he could do. So the next morning, he gets up and he goes running. And I can just imagine, oh, please. King saying, please, 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 please. Daniel still be alive. You know, I just happened to say, this is not scripture. Maybe two things in King's mind. My friend, please still be alive. Oh God, are you really the God that Daniel portrays? He'll still be alive. Don't know that. King goes and tells us with that trembling voice. He's scared. Is he going to hear a response? Is he not, oh Daniel? What does it tell us there? Look at verse 21. Actually, verse 20 is not out there, but he says, and the king spoke, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you? Then verse 21. Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. Daniel never did anything to hurt the king. He served the king. Served the king in faithfulness as he served God. Daniel's word in those trying times is my God. He didn't say, yeah, he did. You know, it had been easy. God, you allowed me to get put in here. It's what you should have done was save me. No, my God, he sent his angel, and his angel shut the mouth of the lions. Maybe, just maybe, let me throw you out something that some people may say. The lions wasn't hungry that night. They were all full. They didn't need to eat Daniel. As I hear some people say, there's a Hebrew word for that, and that's baloney. How can I say boldly that I know for a fact that was not the case? I can tell you very quickly. Look at verse 24. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel. So all of those who set up this petition and those who had accused him, the king is now calling them to come. And it says they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. They ain't even got to the bottom and chop, chop, chop. Them lions were hungry, and they were ready. But our God is greater, and he sent an angel because, it tells us, Daniel was faithful. And lastly, and very quickly, living a life of faith surrounded by success. It tells us at the very end, verse 28, so this Daniel enjoyed success in the region of Darius and the region of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel had success, verse 23, even leads to that God protected him because he had trusted in his God. The king was pleased, and he gave orders that no one should not be, says they are to be fearful of Daniel's God. They are to praise him. The king gave that new decree. Very quickly, y'all bear with me. I know we're over time this morning. But listen, anytime we can see in Scripture, remember I told you God was the main one? Daniel, you take Daniel and you look at Jesus. I don't have time to go into all the detail. I want to show you. Listen to this. The leaders could find no wrong with Daniel. They wanted to get rid of him. The religious leaders could find no wrong with Jesus. The leaders made up a way to trap Daniel. The religious leaders made up false information about Jesus. Daniel was punished for serving God. Jesus was punished for serving God. Daniel was put into the lion's den. Jesus was put into the tomb with the stone rolled over it. Daniel comes out of the lion's den alive only to die again, but our Jesus come out of the tomb only to live forever. We could go on with the representations of the similarity between those two. But let me tell you, it is possible. And today I want to encourage you to live a life even surrounded by evil. Live a life of faith surrounded by opposition. Live a life of faith surrounded by trying times. And we can live a life surrounded by success. How do we do all of that? It's by being a lifestyle, a change in who we are. You see, Christ came, changed us, made us new. And out of gratitude, we serve Him. And we can serve Him by a lifestyle. Put it into practice now, and don't wait till the opposition comes. Don't wait until the trying time comes. You can move right on through them. Daniel never flinched. He lived a life of faith. Amen. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father God, I just ask now, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, you would give us the strength and the power to live a life of faith before you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy